Man, it's good to be in God's house. Amen.
Amen.
Take your Bibles out. You might want to stick something in 1 Kings, then stick something in Daniel, or you can just wait. I'm so glad you're here today. We're starting a brand new series that I've entitled The Math of Discipline. Hopefully, that will make sense as we progress over the next few weeks. I want you to know, like, right off the bat, that this is not something that I don't need and you do. We are going to navigate through this together because there are areas in my life I need more discipline. And just so that I know that we are all on the same page and that I'm not the only one, if you need discipline in an area of your life, would you just raise your hand? And you say, hold him up, just hold him up. You say, Jeff, why do you make us do that so much? It's really not to keep you awake. There's something about owning it. There's something about you need this, I need this. There's just something about that. And I know, and I can't see hearts. I can only see hands. I get it. And you're like, I lifted my hands, but I didn't mean it. Well, that's between you and God. But the fact of the matter is that I think there's some ownership in it when you kind of lean into it and just admit, even with just the movement of a hand, yeah, I could use some help here. What got me started on this, and man, I'm going to make a short story even shorter, believe it or not. But what kind of got me started on this was Miss Kim. I shared Wednesday where Miss Kim was studying. I always call stuck in a verse, where you want to move on, but you're stuck in a verse. And we've been talking about that, and there were times this week where I needed it so badly, and what she was able to dig out and preach to me and teach me, I leaned on it very heavily. And kind of at the end of the day, I realized that all of us, in one way or another, we're writing the story of our life. And now, we all know that the book's not going to say the end ever, because we're just going to move from this life to the next if we know Jesus. Amen? We're going to move to this life to the next regardless. I want to spend it with Jesus. And my prayer is that if you're here today and you need a relationship with Him, that you don't miss this opportunity. We're all writing stories of our life. Each day is a chapter. Each week is a chapter. Each month is a chapter. And what I found myself after conversations with Miss Kim, as I just began to struggle with some things, was this area of discipline. I had already knew I was going to talk about this subject, and what I realized was that this is such a needed topic. I have said, since I've had the honor of being your pastor, and I even said it before when we were on the road, that I believe that lack of discipline in any area of your life will show up in other areas. And it will even cause you to not have the discipline you desire or God desires for you in other areas of your life if discipline is lacking in a particular area of your life. Now, 100% of you raised your hands today. Thank you, because I raised mine. And the reality check is, if I know there's a discipline issue or an area where discipline needs reinforced in my life, if you know that and you acknowledge that you did, how long would we go before we threw the brakes on and said, I've got to do something drastically different in this particular area, because if I don't, I'm just going to get the same results I've been getting. And that was kind of the conversation that Ms. Kim and I have had for the last couple of weeks. And I'll echo what Chancey said. We're good. Don't think we weren't fighting this week at all, or I wasn't. I'm just kidding. No, I'm totally kidding. Can I stay with somebody today? Because that line alone is going to get me in trouble. I just know it. I was totally kidding. We weren't fighting. It was her trying to help me through something that I was just kind of boxing at the wind, and I wasn't getting anywhere. If you acknowledged you need discipline, and you did, how long would you go before you did the exact opposite of whatever it is that's causing you and I to have a lack of discipline? What I want to do is add to the story of our life. You raise your hand that you need discipline. So discipline is an area of your story that needs edited. Miss Michelle, who is an author, she writes books. And they're very good. I encourage you to get them. They really are. She's a good writer. She was talking to me on Wednesday. She was saying that one of her books was going to the editors. And then she said like a bunch of words. And hear me out. I'm not being disrespectful. She said a bunch of words after that, and I looked at her and nodded, but I really didn't hear what she said, because when she said she was sending it off to the editors, I knew that was what I had to do. I want you and I to dive deep into our story and send it to the editor. And let him do what he does. Let him do what only he can do. Discipline is an interesting word. It's an interesting principle. It's an interesting truth, both theologically, naturally. Here's the definition. If take your worship guide out, if you would, and just flip it over. There's some notes back there. I'd like you to take notes if you would, please. Look at the definition of discipline. It means order gained by enforcement. We need to take that background down or I'm going to have a seizure. thank you, though. That was a great idea. Order, I'll read it to you. Anybody else? I mean, that was awesome. I ain't going to lie. I got a little dizzy when I turned around. Discipline, it's in your worship guide, order gained by enforcing obedience. This is out of Webster's dictionary. So this isn't like, you know, the preacher dictionary that manipulates you to do what the preacher wants you to do. Right? You follow me? This is Webster's dictionary. Thanks, guys. Order gained by enforcing obedience, a prescribed conduct or pattern of behavior. I'm just going to pause right here, because I want you to think about that for a second. Order gained by enforcing obedience, a prescribed conduct or pattern of behavior. What I want us to think about for a second is that first word being order. Everything God made, everything God created, everything that God does has order. Everything. He did not create anything or do anything haphazardly. He didn't. If the universe was not created with order, we would all be burst into flames right now. Or let's be honest. Okay? He has intentionally and very specifically spelled out in the scriptures the order for our homes, for our churches, for the way we should do life with others outside the walls of our church. Order. Order. I said order. And I'm making kind of a too big of an emphasis on this, probably, you're thinking, but it's going to make sense, because if we get things out of order in our walk for the Lord, and I feel safe to say everyone in this room at one time or another has done this, and that is you jump to want to apply disciplines in your life when you don't even have a foundation or a fundamental start. So because things aren't in order, when you get to the discipline part, you will fail 100% of the time. Because there's nothing for you to stand on. There's nothing for you to build on. There's nothing for me to really grow spiritually. There's no seeds there. There's nothing that's bloomed that I can pick from. Order is important. And I'm just going to say it, and I don't know what your background is, and I don't, if this is something that you think is like totally whack and demonic, then just pray for me, I guess, because I can't change your mind. This entire sermon, this entire series, God gave me the points and the order in a dream. And as I was sharing it with Kim, I told her, this has literally changed my life and has told me and showed me, God did, why so many of us, including me, will be on the track and then all of a sudden there's not discipline in that area. And I don't know what that area is, but you have it because you raised your hand and told me you did. So I got up, wrote it down, wrote down the order, and then began to pray over the series and the message and begin to put pen to paper, literally, because where I was, I couldn't type. There is a sequence, just like in math. There is a sequence of things that God wants us to do before we can be established in that area that you and I both admit we've fallen short in. Order. Order. It's all part of writing the story of our life. I alluded to Michelle's books. There is an order that things have to go in, or the story doesn't make sense. Fair? Okay. I remember, and I still do this from time to time, but I remember the first time that God had me prepare a message, and I ain't gonna lie, I almost did the exact opposite of what God said because I thought I didn't hear from God. Guilty, okay? He told me to start at the end and then go back and build it and end at the same place you started. And I'm like, well, that just doesn't make sense because everybody's going to be super confused. Well, I was the only one who was confused. Because it's okay that you know the end. It's okay that you know the end of your story. After this life, you'll go to the next. This series is about your life here. What you do, how you do it, how I do it, how productive it can be, how productive it is, how motivated you are, how unmotivated you may be. It all has to do with discipline, and for many of us, we're not in order. I love the passage, and when I told Miss Kim what I was preaching on, she just like, bam, she just like, just blurted this verse out, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's a great verse. where's it found? And we both looked at each other like, I don't know. You ever have those verses that mean so much, but you couldn't go to them? You couldn't. I say all the time, I'm good at memorizing verses. I just don't know their address. It's in your worship guide, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. This is not necessarily part of my series. It is launching us with the mindset of order. 1 Peter says this, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, would you say that next word with me? Add. Say it again.
Add.
Say it one more time.
Add.
That's a mathematical term. Yes? Okay. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. Pause. Same word as discipline. Thank you. Exact same word. You look it up in the Greek dictionary, which I did. It's the exact same word. It's the exact same phrase. In fact, some translations use the word discipline. We're going to use the word discipline. To knowledge, discipline. To self-control or discipline, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Look at this. The next part says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things, lacks what things? The things that were listed in order. If he who lacks these things is short-sighted, ouch, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Lack of discipline will cause you to question where you are with God. Lack of discipline in your life will cause you, and I love that song that Michelle sang, and I'm so glad that when she said, I want to do this song, I'm like, that's awesome. Yes, we're going to do it. Never heard the song. But if she felt it, we were going to do it. And man, after I was listening to it for a while, man, I was feeling it. We got to know who we are in Christ. And if we do not have self-control or discipline, and we all lack in that area, so if we don't have that, it is really hard to know who we are in Christ. We will fall for whatever it is our heart is reaching for. Instead of just going in order like God designed. The math of discipline. I see order in that passage, and I think you do too. I think it's funny, the way I was raised, the church that I came up in, they wanted to jump right to godliness, and I will put in a parenthetical statement, they wanted to jump all the way to godliness as it opposed to how you looked externally. I'm really trying to get over that. I know I'll be 56 next month, 2 months. All right, so I get it. I should be over it by now. I'm getting there. But there was all these things that no one knew. I didn't know was in this wonderful Word of God. And they would skip those things and go right to godliness as it pertained to how long your hair was and whether girls wore pants. And you get the idea, right? And I want to qualify that by saying, and I also learned a ton. So I'm not throwing a baby out with the bathwater. That, however, I'm throwing out baby and all. Okay, so that baby's gone. I'm sorry to say that baby is history. I'm sorry. That was so insensitive. But so it is with discipline, and God, again, has given me a distinct order in which discipline must be obtained, and once obtained, it must be maintained. And as we approach this subject, I want us to have this key thought in our head, and I want us to internalize it, please. I want you to feel this. This is our key thought. Let's unpack it. It goes like this. It's in your worship guide. The decisions that we made yesterday determine the discipline we'll live by today that will create the stories that we'll want to tell tomorrow. You say, that's too much thought for my little brain. Me too. So I'll say it again. The decisions that we made yesterday will determine the discipline. Pause. Why do I say that? Because you raised your hand. Well, why does Jeff Burke keep doing the same thing over and over again? Because the decision I made yesterday should have determined the discipline today. Am I right? Otherwise, you and I will just keep repeating the same thing, whatever that lack of discipline is in your life. We'll just keep repeating it over and over and over again, and the results are going to come out the same as they were yesterday. So, therefore, since the decisions that we made yesterday determine the discipline we'll live by today, it's going to create the stories which are our life. It's going to create the stories that we'll want to tell tomorrow. Our decisions matter because it's how we create order in our lives. Our decisions matter because it's how we create order in our lives, which in turn will turn into and it will develop discipline. We good? It's the shortest intro I've ever given in the history of preaching. For me. And Rob's amen and under his breath. Let's answer this key question as we go on. And really, honestly, I got one point today. I'm going to ask you two questions, and then we're going to go, and then I'm going to meet you back here at 4 o'clock, and we're going to talk about my funnest week of the year. VBS. Here's the question. We're going to unpack this together. How do we, key question, how do we, I'll just read it, how do we develop discipline so we live, listen now, so we live a story worth telling and leave a legacy worth following. How do we develop discipline so we live a story worth telling and leave a legacy worth following? How do we do that? Well, this is what God has told me. To be honest, as I told Kim, I thought it was just for me. And it's not. This is a biblical principle. It's a truth that, again, you and I are going to navigate through together because I need this. And you acknowledge you did too. One more time, the question we're going to answer is how do we develop discipline so we live a story worth telling and leave a legacy worth following? We're going to answer that over the period of the next 4 weeks. This week, we are going to decide to, number one, if you're taking notes, we're going to decide to start. We are going to decide to start. You're like, no, I've got to stop some things. If you don't start some things first, you'll just keep doing things in parallel. And what you'll do, and when I say you, I mean me, but I have an audience, so I'm going to say you too. So what we, what we'll do if we don't start some things and we just keep trying to stop some things, we're just going to keep doing that thing that is the lack of discipline. We're going to do that in parallel, okay, as we tell the story and write the story of our life. And what's going to happen is we're just going to keep telling ourselves and praising ourselves for the thing we stopped. But we never started what it was God told us to start. So in other words, we jumped a couple of layers because we feel better about that. And this ain't about feeling better. This is about being all God wants us to be. God wants to talk to us today about deciding to start a discipline that can be life transforming and will change the life of those you do life with. It'll change your church. It'll change your home. We're going to decide to start. Now, here's what I don't want you to do. I'm not saying start a ministry, start a business, write a book, join a band, buy a bus. Because me and Rob can't pay for another one. And I'm not saying that. Week 4, I'm going to say that. This week, ain't talking about that. So we're talking about a discipline that you need to start. Today we're talking about starting it in the book, The Power of a Habit. It's a great book. I encourage you to get it. I want to revisit kind of the heart of that book. The authors of that book tell us that there are certain disciplines that when you practice them, they cascade forward. I'm taking that directly out of the book. The book is called The Power of a Habit. When we operate in certain disciplines, when we practice them, they cascade forward into positive momentum, and other positive habits and disciplines will follow. But you gotta start. You gotta start. You gotta start. All of us, at least once, I mean, there's something, if we're doing it, when we're disciplined and moving forward, it makes us, it just feels like it propels us forward, and walking with the Lord, and it just, it's that discipline, it feels so good, it just like launches you, and then there's chapters in our life that we're living then, and we're even living now, that we wish weren't part of our life, but they are, they're part of your story. And they can be very unmotivating, and you can lose momentum if that's where you stay. Which is why I believe it's time that the church started something. And I want to go to the Old Testament. We're going to find people making decisions that change the direction of their life. While you're finding the book of Daniel, I want to read Hebrews 12, verse 2, because listen, I want you to write this down on a 3x5 card. I want you, whatever you got to do, a sticky note, I don't care. You or I, either one, can establish the discipline that you said you needed and that I said I needed one. We can't do it if we do not stay completely focused on Jesus. And you're like, well, that is the easiest Christian Sunday school answer. How many failed at that this week? Bam! Exactly. So we got to keep that fresh in our mind. Are you with me? We got to keep that in front of us until it's a discipline. Because there's so many distractions in this world. Amen. Hebrews 12, chapter 2 says, or Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for by the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of the living God. Hallelujah. The author of Hebrews, whom I believe is Paul, but I ain't going to argue with you about it. The author of Hebrews says that we've got to fix our eyes on Jesus, look unto Jesus. I love the way the NIV parses this out. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Yeah. Hallelujah. If you don't fix your eyes on Jesus, I'm telling you, there's no discipline going to start. You and I are going to keep doing the same stupid things we've been doing that is wreaking havoc in our life. We keep them hidden. We can do this. We can turn a little to the left, nudge a little bit to the right. But that lack of discipline will still be in your life and my life if we don't fix our eyes on Jesus. Somebody say amen. Just decide in your heart right now, man, you're going to look unto Jesus. Are you in Daniel? Find Daniel chapter 6. Man, I'm going to look at one of my favorite Old Testament stories. I want to talk about Daniel in the lion's den. Now, while you're turning there, if you know the story, you know Daniel, man, he was a man of discipline. Come on. You're like, man, couldn't you pick somebody in the New Testament because the Old Testament is just not relevant to us today? Yeah, see, the Bible's a book of principles from, as my daddy said, the table of contents to the maps. So disregard your dislike for the Old Testament because you're missing a beautiful blessing. Daniel in the lion's den, if you know the story, Daniel was looked upon favorably by the king. The king's name was Darius. King Darius selected 120 of the best, and he turned them into governors to rule the territory, and he picked 3 men to rule over the 120. So Darius scooped out 120 of the best, made them over certain regions and certain responsibilities. Then he chose 3 to be over the 120. We know who those 3 were. After the 120 guys underneath Daniel realized that Daniel was the one that was over them, they got extremely jealous. They fought that internally until eventually one of them said, "Seriously, how long are we going to keep this quiet? We got to do something with this guy." Obviously, I'm paraphrasing. But Daniel stood out in integrity. Daniel stood out in his leadership skills. Daniel stood out in his discipline. So the king put him in charge of everyone. And everyone wasn't happy about it. Amen? So they said, "We got to put a stop to Daniel." We'll pick that story up in Daniel 6. Let's go to verse 4, please. If you got it, say amen. Amen. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Underline this in your Bible. If you're just looking at your notes, underline it in your notes. But they could find no charge or fault. In other words, there was no lack of discipline in this man's life. Because a lack of discipline is where the fault will fall in your life. It's where the transgression will happen in your life. It's where the sin has a doorway. And again, I'm talking to me, and I've been convicted this week and made some decisions and turned some things around. They could find no charge or fault. What were they doing? They were trying to find some dirt on Daniel. They were trying to find something that they could go to the king with to disqualify Daniel. If we can find anything at all, that's all I need. I need something to go against Daniel. They couldn't. Why? Because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. And why was there no error or fault found in him? I'll tell you that in a minute. Verse 5. Then these men said, "Guys, we're not going to find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." And that wasn't going to happen. This man had discipline. Discipline. So they came to a place where they made a plan, and I'll let you read all the details, but basically they went to the king, and you know the story. "Hey, king, we got a great idea. Wouldn't it be awesome for the next 30 days that nobody was allowed to pray to anybody except you?" You know the story. And of course, that's kind of great to the king, and he said, "Man, that sounds pretty good to me. Let's make a new law. No one prays to anyone but me, and if they do, well, they're thrown to the lion's den." Now that begs the question, why was Daniel looked upon favorably? Sunday school answer? God. We know that. But let's go a little deeper. Are you with me? Why was he a man of integrity? Why would the Bible say that about him? Well, the Bible says that about him, Jeff, because he was. No, I know. But how did he get that? How did he develop himself so that people would call him a man of integrity? Further questions. Why and how is it possible there was no corruption found in him? Now, I know some of you right now are thinking, "Man, I might as well clock out because there is no way I can line up with Daniel." I disagree. 100%. If we did not have the capability due to what Jesus did on the cross to have the power over sin in our life, we would never have been told in the book of Romans that we had the power of sin over sin in our life. Amen? Amen? Yes. So don't write this off like you can't do it. Please, don't write this off like you can't do it. Why did the king promote him into leadership? Why did God show favor upon Daniel, even in the lion's den? Man, I would have loved to have been there, kind of. There's like a big part of me that wouldn't want to be there for a bunch of reasons. Although I like cats, I just don't like those that eat you. But years before, Daniel developed discipline. Years before, Daniel developed discipline to start doing something that made him into the man of integrity that we read about in the scriptures in 2018. God, thank you, Jesus. Chapter 6, verse 10, would you look at this discipline? Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, what writing? The writing that was now law that said, if you pray to anybody but the king, lions are going to have you for lunch. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. I want you in concert aloud to say what is underlined right there. Go. As was somebody in the room holding an NIV, read that phrase out of that version. Some of you are like, you give us the verses, we don't have to bring our Bible. No, if you got the NIV, like if you're following along or you're just pretending you got the book open, you're really in Matthew, I get it. No, I get it because I can't see. You're like, yeah, it's awesome.
Just as he had done before.
Yeah, see, that's what this means. That is literally how that's translated. As was his custom since early days. I applaud that. That's not wrong. That's incredibly right. But there's something that I can grab a hold of when he said, just like he always did before. That's a discipline. I said, that's a discipline. And he established that discipline in his life long before there was the Lion's Den incident. He established that discipline in his life long before he was promoted. He established that discipline in his life long before the king selected him. He established that discipline in his life. He had no idea what the future was going to hold. Long before he was taken and taken into the palace and put over everybody. Long before that, he had a discipline in his life that he would not waver on. As his custom always had been, he knelt down and prayed 3 times a day. After he just hears the writing of the new law. He just heard the writing of the new law. The new law was you pray to anyone outside of the king and you get eaten by lions. When Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went home. He didn't have to think about it. See, this is the beauty of a discipline in your life, church. A discipline in your life you don't have to think about. You don't have to call 14 people. You don't need a meeting with the preacher. You don't have to do that. When you've got a discipline in your life, it is who you are. It's part of your story. I don't know that I've ever heard. I'll be 56 in a couple of months, in a few weeks actually, and I don't think I've been in church since I was 5 years old, and I don't think I've ever heard a story on Daniel, even through the greatest teaching tool ever invented on the planet, flannel graph. I don't think I've ever, ever, ever heard a story on Daniel that did not talk about him praying. What legacy do you want to leave? What story are you writing? He went up in his room and he prayed. I want you to think about that. How long? How long did he do this? Certainly weeks. How long did he do this? Certainly months. How long did he do this? Definitely years. How long was this a part of his story? Obviously decades. Amen. He knelt down before God and he aligned his heart to God and he worshiped the one true God and he prayed that God's will would be done in his life. Why was he successful? Why was he a man of integrity? Because he had a discipline in his life that was called prayer. And one day in his life, he had to start that. He just had to start that. As of right now, from this day forward, I am going to pray 3 times a day to my God. Had he never started that? Would have been cat food. But that discipline developed other disciplines. Remember, a discipline maintained brings forward momentum, which will create other disciplines, other habits, which will increase, which moving forward will create more momentum. Man of integrity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He made a decision to start. Decisions that we made yesterday determine the discipline we'll live by today that will create the stories that we want to tell tomorrow. My one point today is we are going to start. But I got 2 questions. Question number 1, if you're taking notes, what discipline does God want me to want? Say that again. I'm saying me because I want you to say me. And I don't want to say you because you'll think I don't mean me. Was that right? Yeah, that was right. Sometimes this works faster than this. That's a bad discipline. What's the question? The question is, what discipline does God want me to want? See, you ain't going to start something you don't want. You'll do something someone wants you to do. And what I established this week in a particular area in my life was what God wants me to want is discipline in that area. You raised your hand. Now, rhetorically speaking, does he want you to want that discipline in play in your life? What discipline does God want me to want? Another way to phrase it contextually so that we're still tracking together. What's the story that God wants me to tell 5 years from now in my life? What does God want me to want in the future that will cause others to want it too? What discipline does God want you to want? And I bet all of us, if we're honest, we'd say, well, yeah, there's this one area of my life that's not what it should be. And you know what? For some of you, it might be financial discipline. It might be financial discipline. You start a discipline today, and I don't know what that would be. I'm asking what God wants you to want, and then you got to start it. And I don't know where you're at in that, but if that discipline has to do with putting God first in your finances, listen, you can start that today. You're like, well, I can't because we're like past that part in the service. We don't interrupt worship to do something that pertains to money. Did you hear me? No, that's not how we... And if you notice, we don't pass a plate because we don't come prepared to take. The church comes prepared to give. Okay? So we don't take an offering. Okay? We don't do that. We're not better than any other church. It's how we do it. If that discipline you need to start is putting God first in your resources, I think today's a great day to start. I would not be offended right now if you downloaded the app on your smartphone. Would not be offended right now if hey, listen, we're either in a community or we're not. This is kind of how I do life. We're either in this together, or you're on an island by yourself doing your own thing, and you're coming in here with your mask on. Okay, awesome. We love you anyway. We're going to accept you. Not a whole lot of authenticity there, but we'll help you work through that. Amen? So I would not be offended if you knew that was the discipline that you raised your hand on. You could change that today. Well, okay, as soon as I get done with all of my bills and all of, that's not a discipline. I'm sorry, it's just not. And it's certainly not faith. So maybe your areas of discipline that God wants you to want is have to do with your resources. It could be that some of you, God wants for you to have the discipline to have the right priorities. Priorities are weird, aren't they? Because priorities, as you go through your day, please don't misquote me, God is first. Amen. Yes. Hands down. Amen. But we've been taught in the church that it's God. What's next? What did we teach? Family. Church. And then it keeps going. No, it's God first and everything else. There's your priority list. Wow, it went from this to this. If your discipline that God wants you to want is to rearrange your priorities so that it's God first, and what you'll find is, and I say this and people think that it's like, preacher talk or a joke or I'm being arrogant even or whatever, but to me, everything's a priority one. I mean, if it's not a priority one, I need to go do something else. Priority one might be sitting in my chair. Priority one for that moment might be me and Miss Kim finding our place where I'm in my chair and she's in her nest. I don't know what else to call it, because she's and I'm rifling through 500 channels trying to find something to watch. That might be priority one. You're like, that's not using your time wisely for God. Yeah, sometimes you got to just blank it out. Miss Kim said one time, Jeff, the most spiritual thing you can do right now is go take a nap. And I'm like, up top, pow! I'm telling you, man, I am nothing without this woman. Okay, all right, let's move on. It might be that you need your priorities adjusted. Maybe you're thinking, well, I'm a really good husband, I'm a really good mom, I'm a really good spouse, and I was pursuing my career more than anything else, and suddenly priorities got a little skewed. And then you ask God, what does he want you to want? And he changed your discipline in the area of priorities and you started leaving work on time. And you started coming home, eating dinner with your family. And you started asking your kids how their day was. You started rolling around on the floor with your grandkids. You started helping others. And I am not telling you to slack off from your job. I believe as Christ followers, we should do and produce more than anyone else. I believe that. Daniel. Get it? Okay, so I'm not implying that that's what we should do, but what I'm stating is that if your priorities are skewed, you have no discipline in that area, it will break down. It will break down. I'm telling you, your spouse is not going to play second fiddle to your job. She's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. Your kids, you need to hear this little preacher. Your kids, you're going to blink and your kids are going to be grown. Trust me on that. Maybe the discipline in your life is priority. What does God want me to want? What does God want you to want? And now let me bring this home with an application question, and then I'm going to give you a chance to decide what you do with this. We ask the question, what does God want me to want? Number two, if you're taking notes, write this down. What do you need to start? I didn't say what do you need to start first, because if you don't want it, you'll never start it. And if it's not what God wants you to start, and you start it anyway, you're going to not maintain it because God's hand's not on it, and whatever God's hand is not on dies. So God was very intentional when he gave me those two questions that he asked me, that I'm in turn now asking you. What does God want me to want? I just believe in my spirit he's already told you. And I mean that. That's not like I'm not manipulating you. I believe in my spirit he's already told you. Now the rubber's getting ready to hit the road. What do you need to start? What do you need to start to execute what God wants you to want? And turn that into a discipline. What do you need to start? What had Daniel never started? Again, let's keep it contextual as you're writing your story. What do you need to start in order to make the decision that will determine the discipline that you're going to live by today, that's going to create the story that you're going to want to tell tomorrow? What does God want you to start? Here's the key. One of the biggest mistakes that I make, and if this doesn't apply to you, just pray for me. One of the biggest mistakes that you can make in the area of discipline when you're getting ready to start something that God wants you to want, and he's now created that desire for discipline in that area that I know he's already told you, one of the biggest mistakes you can make is start more than one thing. What's the one thing God wants you to want? You all know. You raised your hand. Now, what's the one thing God wants you to start that's going to answer question number one? Because, see, if you start too many things there, it's impossible to maintain them. None of the stuff. Man, that's why. Order. You say, but Jeff, I've got five things. Awesome. I want to walk with you through that. We all want to walk with you through that. And we can't wait to see the growth in your life. It's awesome that God has given you five things. Praise God, he's speaking into your life. Amen? But what's the one thing he wants you to want and start now? He's not going to give you five. He's not going to give you five. What is it? What's the one thing you need to start? What's the one thing you need to start? And again, it's got to be one thing. Because if you try seven things or nine things, you're not going to do anything. We can't keep up with that. We can't maintain it. Yeah, we'll look more spiritual because we're showing up for the Bible study and we've got our prayer journal packed full and we're on prayer journal number 3 now. But I'm telling you, you can't maintain 7, 4, 5, 9 things. What's the one thing God wants you to start because he wants you to want it? Pick one, commit to one. God, what? Just pray. God, what discipline do you want me to want? And I want to start it now. Give me my next step, God. On the one thing that you want me to start and create a discipline. Pick one. See, what I don't want you to hear, and I try to be so careful with this, because I don't want you to hear anything other than what's on my heart and what I believe God is saying. I'm not implying that you don't have any disciplines. I'm really not. I'm not implying that. I'm not saying that. I'm not even insinuating that. You say, Jeff, man, I've got this discipline. I'm in God's Word. Come hell or high water, I'm telling you what's the truth now. I get up 3 hours early and I'm in the Word. And I thank you. That's awesome. Seriously, thank you. Praise God. But what discipline does He want you to want? Because we can talk about what you're doing. If you read Nehemiah closely, and that's, I bring it up because our VBS is based on Nehemiah. That's the character we're basing the theme on. Cat out of the bag. My bad, Chancey. Sorry. You still got to be there four, okay? When people came to Nehemiah to quote unquote volunteer, they told what they did. You may have to read it again to catch it. I told what they did. I told what they did. Here you got this guy with a burden. This guy with a discipline. A work ethic discipline. Amen? Yeah. So you can almost hear it in his voice, although he's way more tactful than I'm getting ready to be. But it's like, that's awesome that you did all those things. Grab a tool, get on this wall, and let's get the job done. So you can hang your hat on the nail of all the disciplines you have, and I'm thankful for those. Praise God for those. That wasn't my question. What does He want you to want now that's lacking in your life? Well, I've tried 10 times to start this, and I have failed 10 times. Well, welcome to the 11th try. And I believe if you give God all of your life, you can do the discipline that He wants you to want. I believe that, or He wouldn't have told us to do it. Because you, like me, you might have a discipline of being in God's Word. I have that discipline, thank God. I have the discipline of preparing messages. I'm not making this about me. I'm using it as an illustration. I have the discipline. My family has a discipline of serving others, thank God. My family has the discipline of giving things away and serving and putting others first. Thank God. God gets all the glory. I'm making a point here. We don't need any recognition for that. But what I didn't have, I didn't have the discipline of taking a vacation for 17 years when we started this church. Even when we would get away for a couple of days, I never detached. And if you've been here very long, you know what that did to me. Even though I got great counsel from the leaders of this church, I got great counsel from my family and my wife and my friends. It didn't matter. And I justified it because I truly, truly, honestly, absolutely love what I do. I do. I love opening this book and talking about this book. But I didn't have the discipline of taking a vacation. I didn't have the discipline of not answering your phone call. I want to take your picture because the look on your face. Well, when I was a kid, the preacher, he was on call 24/7. I get that, man. I get that. You know what I'm really wanting to develop is a church that serves, not a preacher that does everything. Amen? And not that I did everything. We all know Rob does. What I'm trying to say is, Ephesians makes it pretty stinking clear. Apostles, prophets, evangelists. Why? To equip the saints so that they can go and minister. Yeah? I didn't have that discipline in my life. Did not have that discipline in my life. Until it literally broke me down. Or as the doctor said, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Exhausted. I'm kind of getting the hang of this day off thing now. Kim and I were just talking about where we're going on vacation. And I'm like, we're talking about a vacation. We didn't do that 2 years ago. This is awesome. He said, Jeff, why are you telling us this stupid story? It's a discipline. It's a discipline. Because what I was doing wasn't working. Do you know that God cares about the whole you? Do you know that?
Yeah.
Okay, I want it because you're looking at me like... But I could have hung my hat on all the things that we did right. But man, at the end of the day, it was beating me. Some of you, in light of what God wants you to want and He wants you to start, perhaps you have an insecurity. You don't know who you are. You got to create, develop a discipline that you remind yourself of who you are and why you're on this planet. Your mind, your Bible says don't trust your heart. Don't follow your heart. Anybody tells you to follow your heart, do the opposite. Your heart's wicked. My heart's wicked. Right? You with me? I wish I got more amens on that. Don't follow your heart, but you've got to remind yourself, create a discipline in your life that you will remind yourself, I am the child of the living God. He adopted me because He wanted me. And He drew me to Himself. And through Jesus, I can be with my Creator. That's a discipline. Maybe the insecurities have overwhelmed you. What does God want you to want? And when will you start it? Maybe it's an inappropriate quest for material things. It might be bad thought processing. We could go on and on and on. Do you want to live a story worth telling? Or is this chapter in your life going to be embarrassing for you? See, there's an order, and the first thing you've got to do is start. And I'll close with this, because the decision you make today is going to determine your disciplines and the story you write for tomorrow. If you still have your Bibles out, if you're using it, go to 1 Kings, please. I want to show you what I believe to be just an incredible story with an incredible statement. And hopefully this will motivate you. Out of the New International Version, 1 Kings chapter 20. I'll wait while you turn there. 1 Kings chapter 20. If you got it, say, I got it. If you want a minute, say, wait. Perfect. 1 Kings 20, verse 13. Meanwhile, a prophet came to Ahab, king of Israel, and announced, "This is what the Lord says. Do you see this vast army? I will give it into your hands today, and then you will know that I am the Lord." Verse 14. "But who will do this?" asked Ahab. And the prophet replied, "This is what the Lord says. The junior officers under the provincial commanders will do it." Yeah, but who will start the battle, he asked. And the prophet answered, I can't start it for you. He said, okay, there's a battle coming up. Who's going to fight it? Here's the list. Awesome. But who's going to start the battle? Only one person can start this battle, church. Only one person can start your battle from developing and maintaining disciplines. Only one. I love that answer. You will. You will. What does God want you to want? What does God want you to want, and what will you start today? You say, Jeff, I got a lack of discipline in this area. And there's actually a couple, but this is the one God wants me to want. He's told me, and this is the one God wants me to start. And here's the thing. There is a real good chance. I know I'm taking a broad swipe here. There's a real good chance that you've tried to start it before and it didn't work out. It didn't go like you planned. You expected this and you got that. Something about it just it didn't play out like you wanted it to play out. I want you to hear me. You might say, Jeff, what if I once again dedicate this discipline to the Lord, but what if I fail? My response to you is going to be, what if you don't? What if it actually becomes a discipline that gives you forward momentum, that creates more disciplines? And what if you don't fail? If you're here and you need to think about the discipline God wants you to want, I just want to pray with you. And you've raised your hand, so, man, you don't need any more exercise, you're good. But you know in your heart what it is. I don't need to know, it's not my business. If you want to share it with me so that I can pray specifically for you, I'm okay with that. Hit me, email, text me, whatever. Call me, I'll answer your phone call. But you know what it is. Are you willing to start it today? What does God want you to do to start it? Are you willing to do it? I'm going to pray, and then I want to ask you one more question, and we're going home. God, thank you for those who raised their hand. I believe you have already spoken into the hearts of men and women who know what you want them to want. They know it. And I believe you've already dropped in their spirit what you want them to start. Not stop, not change, start. God, even though they may have started in the past, I pray you give them the courage to once again grab the torch. On the 22nd, 2018, is the day a new discipline started in the lives of my brothers and sisters in this room today. I'm going to be quiet for a second. I want you to talk to your God. I'd ask you to stay in an attitude of prayer. Don't leave unless you absolutely have to, please, so that those praying are not distracted. Would you just pray? You know what it is you need to start. Talk to your God. Now let me ask you one more question. I'll try not to interrupt you if you're still praying. But maybe what God wants you to want is a relationship with Him. I mean like a real dynamic relationship with Him. A real dynamic relationship with Him. If you're here and you know that you need Jesus, that Jesus died for your sins, rose from the grave, and you know the difference between right and wrong, and you need Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and you want Jesus to radically invade your heart and to come inside of you and live forever. If you want that, and you know you need that, raise your hand. Right there. Thank you. God bless you. And you, God bless you, dear. I'm proud of you. Who else? See, Jeff, I know I need Jesus. I want Jesus to live inside of me. Who else? Who else? You? Two, raise your hand. I'm so thankful. I'm gonna wait just a few more seconds. Anybody else? I want Jesus. I need Jesus. I can't even start a discipline because I'm not even at the starting line yet. But after today, I'm going to be. Anybody else? 5 seconds. Father, we thank you for paying the price for that which breaks your heart. Paying the penalty of sin so that I and my brothers and sisters can be in a relationship with you. Not as an acquaintance, but as sons and daughters. Lord, we confess to you today that we need you, and we confess sin in our life. We have fallen short of your standard. And we know that there is only one way to spend the rest of eternity with God, the creator of the universe, and that is through you, Jesus. So I confess that I'm wrong and you're right. I've sinned and you are the spotless, pure sacrifice that has paid the price. And you conquered death, hell, and the grave for my benefit. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you for coming into my life. Thank you. Now help me walk this out. Help me be open and honest to my brothers and sisters here in my church so they can hold me accountable in my walk with you. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen and amen. Now here's what I want you to do. If you made a decision for the Lord today, in front of you there's decision cards. I promise you I'm not going to come to your house at dinner time and interrupt your family dinner. I promise I'm not going to bombard you with literature. I'm not going to do that. It's not going to happen. But it helps me know how to pray. You can put them in one of the boxes. You can give them to somebody with an Ask Me badge. Outside of someone with the Ask Me badge, no one's going to see it but me. But I want to know what God did for your life. Two of you raised your hand and you said that today was the day that Jesus came into your life and saved your soul. I want you to write that down because I want to celebrate that this week. And every time I get discouraged, I'm going to pull that card out with your name on it. And I'm going to say, take that, devil. You write down what God did for you. If you're here and it's your first time, hi, my name's Jeff, and I'm so glad you're here. You passed good churches to get here. Thank you for coming today. And until we meet again, which is today, FO, we're going to talk about VBS, man. It's like the most exciting week of... I'll see you then. God bless you. Have a great day.